everybody. This is Josh Story.
And I'm Brett Musselwhite.
And you're listening to another episode of FAQs and Brett and Josh, where we attempt to figure out how to follow Christ in college. Brett, welcome back, bro.
Thanks, man. Glad to be here.
It's been a while. Like a couple weeks, it feels like.
It has. It feels like forever.
Yeah. I heard that you went to Vegas and lost like your entire salary, man.
All of it. Yeah. All the money in the world.
Dang, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's why this week is brought to you by Google. No, I'm kidding. Although, if there's any sponsors out there, we're totally down because...
Yeah, just holler at us.
Yeah, you know, might as well. So this week we are answering the question of how do I use my gifts and use my talents to be a light in a really dark culture? And so that's a question that we get asked quite a bit from students who are trying to figure out, man, I have these gifts, I have these talents, and I want to figure out how to leverage those in such a way that I can actually be a light. So we're actually going to listen to an interview that I did with a guy in Austin named Will Backey. He is the director, writer, and producer for Wright Studios alongside with a guy named Michael Allen. So if you've ever seen One Nation Under God, Beware of Christians, or Believe Me, they are the guys who have made all those films. And so he's an awesome dude, and I think it was cool to hear him talk about how he is in the Hollywood scene doing all of that and actually really trying to be a light to everybody out in Hollywood. So anyway, check out my interview with Will Backey.
We met in college. Well, I knew Michael in college, mm-hmm. and then you and I met because we were dating girls who were best friends.
We were, that's it.
And then we stopped
dating. Then we stopped dating those girls.
But we remained friends.
We did.
So yeah, man, all the way back in the day. But yeah, man, so you guys have been a light in a lot of really cool ways because y'all are Christians who make great films and y'all make great art. And y'all stand out, which I think is both awesome and sad. Awesome because y'all make great stuff. Sad because y'all are like one of the only believers that make great art, right? So first off, and why do you feel like so many Christians are willing to put their name on mediocre art?
I mean, I'm just gonna give you the honest responses on this. So forgive me if anyone just totally disagrees. You're more than welcome to reach out to me. I think that the bar is pretty low.
Yeah.
When it comes to Christian art today in this day and age,
yeah.
I don't think it's always been that way.
Yeah.
I think that. I think Christian art is a niche. It's a genre just like any other genres, like horror or action. So you kind of just like make art tailored to the audience that's going to watch it. And I think I'm going to come from like the film side, but I think when it comes to Christian movies, I've been told before that they're really just meant to affirm and, uplift and encourage. And that's pretty much it. I think that like it's difficult to make a Christian movie that challenges believers, that makes them ask questions, because really like the point of a Christian film is, like I said, to affirm, because there's so much other content out there that makes Christians feel like they're the wrong ones, that they're the dumb ones, that like really Christians just want to watch something that pictures them as the good guys.
Yeah.
You know, so just like if I want to see a horror film because I just want to get scared, I'm not like going to a horror film, a scary movie, just to like be in it for the love story. Like,
right.
I don't care. I'm just going to get scared. I think Christians approach Christian films that way. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going just to be uplifted and be affirmed and encouraged. And that's pretty much it. So I feel like if that is what you're going for, then that's where the bar is does it do those things?
Yeah.
Everything else is kind of secondary. So similar to like scary movies, you would never say like, well, did it have a great character arc and did it have great set pieces? And that stuff just doesn't really matter. It's
right.
Were you scared or not? So
yeah.
A Christian genre is like every other genre. It just has, you know, a different game plan.
Yeah, totally. Which I think is interesting because I feel like y'all in some ways take a different approach to making films for believers. Like, y'all make people think, right?
Yeah.
Like, tell me about kind of y'all's like philosophy of making art.
Yeah, well, we wanted to make movies that sort of challenge believers. And I think that just came out of this yearning for content like that when we were in college.
Yeah.
So I remember being in college and going to see Forgetting Sarah Marshall and just like laughing my butt off with my friends. And I just remember being like, man, there's no movie that is this funny that also encourages me to like talk about God or like
yeah, totally.
Gives me sort of a window to do that. And I've never seen a movie that could kind of do both, be really funny and entertaining and really set my mind thinking about bigger things.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
So I don't know. I think that and maybe that's not possible, but we wanted to try and do that. We kind of set out to make these Christian documentaries that sort of like asked deep-seated questions
yeah.
that were in our hearts, but also be entertaining and funny.
Dude,
so.
Totally. I mean, I vividly remember when y'all came out with One Nation Under God at the premiere in College Station. Dude, we laughed so hard, and I thought, this is amazing. Like, believers who are funny, but also thoughtful, and yeah, dude, like, it was, for me, a perspective shift because I'd never seen anyone actually do that. I was
mm-hmm.
so used to the fireproofs and the
mm-hmm.
all the other stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is awesome. So backing up a bit, when did you realize that you had a gift for like making film and stuff like that?
Still trying to figure that out. I mean, I loved making movies since I was in high school. I did theater first and then selfishly wanted to tell my own stories instead
yeah.
of be an actor in somebody
yeah.
else's. And so I started dabbling with a camera and then decided to major in it at Baylor Film. So, yeah, I think college was like the first time that, you know, I think when you're in college, like that's the best time to just fail.
Right.
Fail over
totally.
And over and over again, trying
totally.
Stuff that you're just interested in. Because for us, it was like me and three buddies and we went on this road trip for 5 weeks and we brought a camera and like I was trying to make a movie. They didn't really know that.
Yeah.
But I was like in it just to make a movie because there were like the stakes were so low. Like if I threw it away the day I got home, like
right.
no one would care.
Yeah.
So we just made it with reckless abandon because there was no stakes to it.
Yeah.
There was no like big money on it. There
yeah.
was no investors that were wondering if they were going to get paid back. It was just like, it was just for fun. And
yeah.
I think that's when I really fell in love with it because I could sort of put together these scenes that when sitting in front of a theater full of people, they connected with it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, really good stories help people connect with ideas that they're not accustomed to and
yeah.
it has the power to change their minds about things.
Yeah.
And so I sort of saw that through making these movies and I just wanted to do it more.
Yeah. So you're a super talented guy, like just like the way that you see stuff and like you write well and you're funny. I feel like you could use those talents and gifts to do a bunch of things or to do a bunch of different genres of film. What really makes your heart beat fast for, like, I really starting off, like, you know, I wanted to make films for believers that was
mm-hmm.
quality. Like, why did you choose to go that route versus I'm going to go make features?
Probably yeah.
About.
Well, I think it's just because that's the stage of life I was in. I was at Baylor. I had been, you know, a Christian all throughout high school. And I went to a Baptist college. And, like, when I got to Baylor, I just remember being there and seeing everyone drinking, partying, sleeping around, like everything else that the rest of the world was doing.
Right.
But we all went to church on Sundays together.
Yeah, totally.
And I just remember feeling like a hypocrite and feeling like there's really no difference in
yeah.
what we believe versus what people, you know, who aren't Christians believe.
Yeah.
Because our lives don't look any different.
Right.
And so that was like really convicting. And I thought that was a subject matter that I could explore and bring up questions that I think people would be interested in.
Yeah.
And I felt like I had something to say, you know,
yeah.
in that space. And so we made, you know, our first two documentaries, then our first feature film, Believe Me, really in that Christian space,
yeah.
playing with all of these themes about Christian culture and the difference between the culture and the actual, like, relationship with God.
Yeah.
And, you know, now we're kind of going out and doing different genres of film because I think we've said what we want to say in that space, in the Christian space for now. It's also because our voice is very different from
yeah.
what's financially sustainable in Christian
yeah.
movies. So yeah, it's hard because our movies I think connect with millennials, but there's really no easy distribution model, easy way to reach Christians that are our age.
Yeah.
And our generation doesn't really care about Christian movies like
yeah.
our older parents' generation does.
Yeah.
So sure. We just want to be entertained.
Yeah, so. Totally. So would you say that's like the thing that prompted the change to kind of morph into the more just like basic feature film that doesn't have like the label of
a Christian movie
attached to it?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. Even making our first feature, like, our reviews were pretty split, and a lot of times it was easy to feel bitter because it's like, well, because it has the Christian label, people just kind of look at it differently and approach it differently. And they may miss some of the things about it because it's under that Christian banner, you know? And so I think we kind of want our art to just be judged as art. And not only that, but it was different because once we made our first two documentaries, the biggest fruits of the movie seemed to come from sharing it with people that were having this response to it that was changing them.
Right.
And so when we made our first feature, we were like, I don't know if that's going to be the same way that it happens. And for us, we found for the first time that really the biggest changes were happening on set around a crew of non-believers, around a bunch of Hollywood actors that were non-believers, and working with them and them engaging with us and seeing our hearts behind this movie and seeing, you know, our faith behind this movie made big differences. And I think we felt like our mission was to be a light in an industry where there typically isn't one.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where God's placed us. It's not to make a product that changes people.
Right.
Because God changes people.
Right, totally.
I think I feel more used when God is using me and not the product I make. So I think we can do that in any genre of movie.
Yeah, totally.
Which I guess is what we're feeling right now.
Yeah. So I remember after y'all did Believe Me, y'all having some, you know, stories about you're writing this film and producing and directing this film that pokes a lot of fun at believers, right? You know, it's about these guys who fake this nonprofit and scam all these believers out of money and stuff like that. And so tell us about kind of what the cast and crew were saying to y'all as far as like, wait, I thought every believer like believed this, but y'all don't. Like, tell us about like how like that content created conversations with like the cast and crew.
Yeah. Well, I think we connected most with our actors and crew because, like, we were aware of the stigmas of Christianity that were so polarizing to people.
Yeah.
I think when you just accept something blindly and don't really have much evidence behind it and don't have any doubts, people have no idea how to relate to you.
Right.
So we're, like, very comfortable telling, you know, our cast and crew and really anyone that we've screened our movie for, like, I can't tell you 100% that, like, my faith in God is true.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's an area where faith steps in and that kind of gets you the extra hump, which I think is also necessary. But they related to that and appreciated that we were able to say, like, hey, we don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
Our job as believers is to love you guys, you know, forgive you guys, show grace to you guys when you don't deserve it because God showed us grace when we didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
So. I think that there is like a huge difference between buying into sort of the Christian culture and saying that like being a Christian means that I look like this and dress like this and act this way versus like humbly walking with the Lord, being, you know, very like upfront about our flaws and our mistakes and sort of like not trying to hide those from anybody. So I think making a movie about like how Christians are getting conned and like the culture helped us just separate that in Christians' minds of like there's a difference between the culture and the relationship. Like I said, if you're mad about us making fun of Christians, like look at the movie and the jokes and you'll see that the jokes are all about the culture, not the faith behind the culture.
Totally.
So there's a funny story because my girlfriend, who's now my wife, her mom saw my movie when we first started dating and like hated it. Like hated it. So we had a great conversation about the heart behind it, I can't say that she loves it now, but I think she likes it now because she gets it.
Are there other like bigger believers who are like, oh my gosh, how dare those guys make jokes about us and stuff like that?
No, I mean, I don't think, I mean, not that I've heard, maybe. Yeah. I think like the ultra conservative Christians that maybe have their identities wrapped a little bit too much in the culture would probably have some pushback.
Yeah.
And I can understand why. Anytime anyone attacks your identity, it's like you're going to go all arms. But
totally.
No, I mean, like Donald Miller was a guy that saw the movie and really loved it and had us out to like his story conference and showed it, and he understood it. Like, that's like another guy that I think was kind of raised on like the sort of rough edges of Christianity and realized there is kind of that gap.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, that meant a lot to us because his books meant a lot to us in our faith. So.
That's awesome. I think when we're talking about like film and stuff like that, I feel like so many Christians view like Hollywood as like evil. You know, it's like, it's like, oh, Hollywood, Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Like, you know, nothing good happens there. Like, how has it been being a believer, interacting with studios and actors and, you know, investors and stuff like that? Has it been tough to like be a believer in that scene?
Well, we live in Austin, so I can't say I'm like fully wrapped up in it. I will say that I am like 100% susceptible to feeling the glitz and glamour anytime I go out to Hollywood, because they sell it to you.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
When you're going around to different studios and pitching ideas, like, they all tell you you're a genius because it's free for them to say that, you know, like it's another thing for them to actually put money on the table and buy your ideas.
Yeah.
So, like, if most of your time you're out there pitching and everyone's telling you you're a genius, it's hard to not be like, oh, I'm the man.
Yeah.
This city is amazing and I'm going to move out here because I'm a genius. apparently. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it's like, it keeps me a lot more grounded living in Austin. But, you know, I think that's just that I'm weak-hearted, and that even when I go back home to Dallas, I'm like, oh, I need more money.
you know, totally.
It's like the culture, I think, is very tempting to me, but that's why I live in a culture that doesn't tempt me.
It's that's great. and I think, you know, a lot of people could see you guys and think, man, they're like living the dream, right? Like, they're using their gifts, they're using their talents, they're making movies, they're traveling around, they're doing screenings, all that stuff. But I know from talking to y'all, man, like, there have been some really rough moments along the way. How hard is it to keep going and to keep doing this, like, year after year?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it gets harder. It's cool when you're, like, 22 and you're out of college and you tell your friends you're a filmmaker. Like,
right,
that's
right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
When you're 29, tell your friends you're a filmmaker, it's not as cool anymore, because you're like, so, I don't know, your future is so up in the air, and around this age, I feel like I'm supposed to probably have a lot more figured out than I should, but, you know, I love what I do, and I feel very called to it in a, not just in like, I'm so dug in that I have to keep going, but in like, I feel like I'm at my best when I am doing the thing that I feel like God has gifted me with.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've had some really, you know, we like made 3 movies in the span of like 5 years, and it's been about 4 years since our last movie because we've really kind of gone back to school on learning how to do this right.
Yeah.
Our first feature film was our first time writing a script, our first time producing a movie, my first time directing actors, first time writing a script. So now we've really come back around to learn like the art form and how to do it best, because we want to put out great work, and we want to put out great work because that's what we believe God deserves. You know, we've talked a little bit about like art and God and like how our faith kind of intersects with that. And I would say to like any creatives that are like trying to figure out how to bridge that gap, like, focus first on making great art, you know. Don't make Christian art, make good art.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Do the best work you can because God's gifted you with it, and he's worthy of it, you know. So I don't want to make a movie that I think isn't my best just because it will make more money in the box office with Christians. Like, I want to make the best movie I can because I feel honored to be able to do this at all, and I want to give all that glory back to God. So I would say start there with like, if you want to be a musician, like, listen to the best music, like, listen to why music is the best music. And it's not just like what's popular, but I think there's a lot of artists even outside the Christian space, mostly outside the Christian space, that are doing like incredible work.
Yeah.
And if you can learn from the best, then like it's only going to help your craft.
Yeah. So. Are there any other things like you would say to like guys who are trying to figure out where are my gifts and then to how to put those into use?
Yeah. I mean, the earlier you can fail, the better, because you're going to fail, right? Yeah. Like anytime you do something for the first time, like it's probably going to suck. it's like, it's so true. And honestly, just getting out there and doing something in college, we were lucky enough to get some momentum with it, but it wasn't our first movie. It was our second documentary that really helped us get in the door. Like it was doing it for the first time and staying up from midnight to 4 a.m. for like 8 months straight editing that like allowed us the opportunity to keep doing this. And it's going to take like more work than you're ready to give up. And it's going to be a lot harder than you ever could imagine. But if you're still doing it after that, it's like a good sign that you love it. And I think that that's like an important thing, is like think about the things that you spend all your time thinking about. Because if you're like an engineer major, but all you can think about all the time is dancing, then like go dance, like go do, go pursue that, because you're going to be so much happier doing something that you love for the rest of your life. I hate that I keep using anecdotes, but I think it was like Jim Carrey gave this speech that his dad had basically told him, like when Jim Carrey wasn't sure if he was going to keep acting or not. His dad basically said, like, you should go do what you love, because you can fail at what you hate. And, you know, you might as well fail at what you love. I think his dad, like, had given up his dream to, like, you know, get a stable income as, like, a miner or something like that. Like, not like a miner, but, like, some mining or whatever. And he got fired after, like, 30 years. And he was like, yeah, you should just go do what you love, because you can still fail at what you don't love. So I think that's, like, wise words.
Yeah. Dude.
Especially when you're young, you can just take shots that, you know, you'll bounce back from a lot easier.
Yeah, because, I mean, I remember how much fun it was in college, because, like, at the time, I was still doing music stuff, and y'all were making films, and there's this freedom within college, because, like, if I suck, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, if I play a show and no one comes to my show, that's fine, because I'm not starving because of it. You know, my livelihood doesn't, you know, require 1,000 people to show up, you know?
But yeah, I relate to that. I think it's like, anytime you're doing anything that's not like hive-minded like everybody else in college, everyone's like, what? You can do that? Like, you can just start a business in college? Like, yeah, you can start a business in college.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult.
Totally.
You can like set up your own shows and start playing your own concerts, and you can make your own movies or art and try selling it. You know, like, I would say take all those risks. Like in college, it's literally the best time to do it. And the sacrifice is so small. It seems like a big sacrifice to not hang out with your friends one of the 7 nights a week that you're hanging out with your friends.
Right,
but you should just not hang out with them
and
work on your craft.
Yeah.
So you can set up a good little like trajectory when you get down to college.
Yeah.
So.
Dude, totally. Yeah, man, I think there's a ton of really, really cool opportunities to be a light by using gifts and stuff like that. Dude, so if people want to like watch your films, man, where do they go? How do they do that?
Yeah. You can go to riotstudios.com and find all of our movies there. You can also just, because of it's 2017, you can type in watch and then any of our movie titles, One Nation or God, Beware of Christians, or Believe Me, and there'll be links to where you can get it. It's on Amazon, Prime, and Hulu, and all that stuff.
Ah,
so,
sweet, dude.
Yeah. We were on Netflix for a while, but our contract ended.
Oh, no.
So
way.
We're not on there anymore.
Is it like a offensive when people are like, oh, like I'm not gonna buy it, but I'll watch.
Super offensive, 100%. Yeah, it's like a bummer. I mean, there's a lot of disappointing things about making movies. Mostly, you spend like 4 years on it. People watch it, and at the end, are just like, all right, we're eating dinner. So, the idea of someone being like, yeah, let me know when it's on Netflix, because I can't pay $6. You're like, oh man, that's crazy. You kind of set yourself up for that, so. Yeah,
we did. Wait, so what's next for Riot?
We've got 2 to 3 movies in the pipeline. We're actually working on a documentary right now with some college guys out of Texas A&M.
Hey, whoop.
Which is, yeah, I'm going to try to edit out all the whoops and Aggie logos I can. But we're working on that with this documentary that's kind of on the lowdown right now. But and then we're also working on a feature film called The Get Together. We did a short film titled The Get Together a year and a half ago, and we've been working on the feature version since. So it's just about wrapped up. We're going to go pitch that around LA soon and hopefully be in production early next year.
Cool. Dude, that's awesome, man.
I'm excited.
Bro, thanks for taking time to sit and chat and all that stuff.
Anytime. Awesome. My pleasure.
Well, guys, that's our show. We'll see y'all next week.